We have a lovely show for you ahead of us today. Lou Manfredini is here taking your questions.
I had a couple chipmunks get in my garage. I think they died. The smell is like open garbage cans.
Good morning. I have a rental unit where the tenant allowed the dog to urinate on the wooden floor. Good
morning. Good morning. I am woken by the lovely fragrance by skunk. Good morning
to you. Hey, you didn't say all those questions were going to be pretty. Here's your host for the next 3 hours, Lou Manfredini. You're tuned in to House Smarts Radio right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
So good morning. Good morning. Sunbeams will soon smile through.
Hi there. Good morning. Wait. And you and you. This hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, by ComEd Powering Lives, and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Good morning to you. If you'd like to jump on the phone lines, you can do so. Lindsay is in the producer chair. Good morning, Lindsay.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
I'm excellent on this beautiful, I know everybody loves summer, but like, I love the heat.
Well, we went from like monsoons, which all it does is rain, you know, every other day, and well, then we get the heat and the humidity. I do like it too. Don't get me wrong.
The humidity. Everybody, yeah. It's like a big blanket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always cold anyway.
Like a big blanket, as long as the air conditioning's working, right? Yeah. Right. Well, nice to have you with us. Joe Brand on sports this morning. And Roger, thank you for sitting in this morning. I know there was a little confusion on scheduling, but Roger was kind enough to stick around this morning, so we appreciate that. Joe Brand, nice to have you with us this morning. When's your next game?
Tonight, over in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
I want to compliment you on the air. There was a little bit of some shuffling, and Andy Mazur was jumping in doing play-by-play on some Sox broadcasts, which Andy did a great job, and I was super happy to hear a talented Joe Brand doing pregame on the Sox games. Did a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to get into that rotation.
Yeah, very nicely done. Whoever the head of sports is over at WGN Radio, he made a good decision. What's that old guy's name that works here at the end?
Oh, Lou, he's not old.
Don't say his name. I'll say it.
He's not old. He's very young. Very spry.
Dave Ennett. Good job, Dave Ennett. Well, you did a great job. It was nice to hear
you. Just want to make it clear, you said old, not me.
Oh, of course. No, handsome. He's handsome, and he's handsome. He loves vegetation. He's just a great guy. He really is.
Loves vegetation.
Good job, Dave. He loves vegetation. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Today we're going to be talking about a different kind of video doorbell that you could put on your home that's a little bit more affordable. I'm a big fan. And then a guy that's with an organization that is building homes for homeless veterans, but it's in the realm of the whole tiny home field, which is kind of cool. And we'll learn a little bit more about that coming up later on. But right now, let's get to your phone calls at 312-981-7200. Kathy is in Hoffman Estates. Kathy, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
Hello.
Hi, how can I help you?
Oh, I can't hear you.
Oh, I can hear you, Kathy. Let's try one more time. We got a phone line there for Kathy. Hello, Kathy. She said hello to me. Hold on. We'll keep talking, Kathy. Hold on. We're trying to get the phones going. We may put you on hold one quick second and then figure out what's going on. All right. Let's do this. Well, hang on, Kathy. Let's try Jay, who's in Cicero. Hey, Jay, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Yeah, here I am, Lou. Good morning.
How can I help you, sir?
Lou, can you hear? I can't hear nothing, though.
All right. Well, he can hear us. I'm there.
Lou, hello.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Let's put Jay on hold and let's figure out what's going on there. How about that? Hi, yeah, Lindsay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, Jay, hello? You there?
Hello
Jay.
Hello.
Well. Okay.
Well, this is working out great.
I love it when Ferguson. I mean, he's not going to like this right now, but our engineer.
No. Is he using
scary.
Some language?
Well,
is he using
some language? I have the cough button ready to go. Here.
Right. He likes to. would you say that when this kind of stuff happens, that the language gets colorful?
Colorful.
Colorful. Right. Word. Yeah. It's kind of like a range of. Do you have any questions I can answer for you this morning?
I do.
Because I can hear you.
Let's see. How do we make the basement not so cold and the upstairs colder?
Oh, my gosh.
It's the biggest battle between my husband and I right now. I feel like I'm going to...
The problem with your home, and no one's been... not a lot of people have been to your home, but you've got that open staircase that leads down. It's like a giant piece of ductwork. And even if you close all of the vents down in that basement, it'll still be like an icebox. But one of the things you can... What?
It is. That's the greatest word for it.
It's like an icebox. Right. And you even get probably, when it gets this humid, you'll get moisture on the glass, on the outside of the glass, because it's so cold on there. But one of the tricks that you can do to offset it is if you take a little box fan at the bottom of the stairs.
Okay.
And like point it towards the stairs on low.
Point it towards,
So you're creating like a little back
suction.
Pressure for the, not suction, but a push.
Oh.
So that the cold air doesn't drop down, and it's like a barrier. You know, like when you go, if you're downtown, like department stores will open up their doors to get you to come in as you're walking down the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And as you walk by the doors, like that blast of cold air hits you even though it's hot and humid. Well, some stores actually have a fan that blows down to create like a wall of pressure to keep the air in.
Makes sense.
You'll be doing the same thing. And just on low, one of those little $20 Lasco box fans, you won't even hear it that it's on. Your biggest issue is that the dog will tip it over, running around like a crazy person.
There's like a safety feature on it, right?
Oh, well, it just spins. It's a fan. It's not a heater.
Yeah, no. It's been a big battle.
Right.
And then I get yelled at.
Because?
Well, it's like, so, I mean, I feel like men just run hotter than women, right?
I'm the wrong guy to ask him. Since I've lost all this weight on Seattle Sutton, I mean, it's like a joke with Mary Duff. Like, if it's cold outside, I'm like, ooh, I feel a little draft. Is there a little draft on my neck?
So funny.
I'm like, it is funny, but I'm like, right. And what the thing that's weird is when I was in construction, I would be on a cold day in the winter. I literally would be in a t-shirt because I was so hot.
Yeah.
But John Williams posted a picture on Twitter. Somebody sent him pictures from a Kathy and Judy convention from 18 years ago. I think if you go to King John and follow it on Twitter,
The green
turtleneck.
Did you
see it?
The green.
Well, John had lime green, but there's a picture of me.
Yes, I did see that.
And I look like all I do is eat donuts, which back then, that's all I did was eat donuts. And I have a really shiny face, and I'm wearing pleated pants, which my wife doesn't like pleated pants, and I do not look good. I can honestly say that I look better 18 years later than I did then.
Benjamin Button.
Even though I wish I was 18 years younger.
And you have more hair.
And I have more hair. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Sorry about this problem with the phones. You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to House Smarts Radio and Lou Manfredini on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Welcome back. You know, the House Smarts Radio is all about you and callers, and, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Who would we like to try now? Let's see if this works. 312-981-7200. We're going to give it one more try. Kathy is in Hoffman Estates. Kathy?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me, Kathy?
I can hear you.
Kathy, can you say, what makes me so funny?
What makes you me so funny?
You said I was funny.
Yeah.
How can I help
you? She just has a question she wants to <I know>.
Now I want to play the thing, but I don't know if there's any swear words in that whole thing from Goodfellas. So
I'm going to go with yes.
Exactly. Kathy, how can I help you this morning?
Okay, Lou, I took the carpeting off my three flights of stairs.
Okay.
I've sanded them with the different grades, and I'm going to paint the risers white and stain the top part color.
Okay.
I go on YouTube, and they tell me to use liquid sandpaper on the risers before I paint. Do you agree?
Well, how smooth is it now?
Not smooth.
Oh. And have you been just doing this by hand?
With a, what's that, round oscillating?
Like a random orbit sander. Right.
Yeah.
And are the risers like a nice finished piece of wood? Like when you look at that, does it look nice and finished?
When you say finished, you mean by sandpaper? It's not a nice piece of wood to look at.
Right, but in other words, when you're, was this, I guess my question is, are they oak treads now? Like, were they finished stairs at one point before the carpeting was on them?
Yes, the treads, they were. The tops.
The tops are oak, or I assume is oak, and you've got like a little piece of cove molding underneath it where it meets the riser?
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing with the wet sandpaper is that's just to get a really smooth finish, like if you were doing like auto body work. There's really no reason to do that on a riser that you're going to paint. But I do want that wood to be as smooth as possible. But I will also tell you that I want you to stain first and paint last.
Okay. And do I stain with a rag or a paintbrush?
How dark of a color are we going to use?
I'm going to go a medium brown, not the espresso colors.
So what I would do is I would use a brush and then wipe it with a rag. So I would put a little bit with a brush, and then the key with the stain whenever you're doing this, Kathy, is you have to stir the can really well to get all the distillates and resins that are at the bottom to flow through that. Dip it with the brush, kind of do the tread, wipe with the rag, walk away.
Okay.
And then when that dries, then we can you're going to put the finish on later. You could put the first coat of paint on before you put the finish, okay?
Okay.
And then you're going to do the finish, cut the first finish with a little mineral spirits with polyurethane so it digs in. And then you're going to use steel wool, then two full strength coatings of the polyurethane.
Okay. All right. I didn't know all that.
Yep. And it should look good. I appreciate you calling this morning, and good luck with that project. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get the news right after this. Wow, you just brought back a memory for me that I hadn't thought of in a long time. Your friend named Brandy. We had a dog named Brandy. He was an Irish setter. He fell down a ravine and died. Brandy. I mean, when have you ever heard about a dog falling down a ravine and dying? I have to tell you, Brandy was not the smartest Irish setter. So sad. Poor Brandy. It was a beautiful dog. We were singing this song yesterday.
Oh.
This is a great song. If you're not looking to date anyone. No, Brandy. Sorry. You're a beautiful girl, but I want nothing to do with you.
Mm-mm.
The sea is what I want. You know, now that I've been to sea, that's my thing.
Uh-huh.
Me. Sorry, Mary Beth. It's all about me and the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the
Irish setter?
Sugar-free cookies. They had sugar-free cookies on the boat.
Really?
When we were on our cruise.
Did you eat them?
They always had cookies, like, set up where people walking by. Mm-hmm. And they had these lovely oatmeal cookies and chocolate chip cookies. But then they had a plate of sugar-free cookies. Now, think about it. Well,
I would think it would be gluten-free cookies, but not sugar-free cookies.
No. You know, I'm telling you what. If I can ever get my wife to help me, to let me open up my sandwich shop, mm-hmm. Louie's, where every sandwich is named by Louie.
Yep.
I want to make the best gluten-free sandwich. Like, that's what I want to be known for.
Why?
Hey, we got to go to Louie's.
Who's
because there's so many
in your
people.
Yes. Do you have gluten?
Well, my niece Ellie is gluten-free. Okay. Jameis is gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many people that are gluten, right? They're like, oh, there's not gluten in it, right?
Yeah.
Right? So I want to be like, oh, we got to go to Louie's. You got the best gluten-free. I don't even know what that is yet, my gluten-free sandwich.
You're working on it.
Yeah. It's and you know what the sandwich is going to be called? Luten-free. See what it's right? Give me the luten-free. Because every sandwich is named for Louie.
Good one.
Right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Frank, who's in Wheaton. Frank, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Yeah, good morning, Lou. Quick question for you. During those heavy rains we had around Memorial Day, the window well in the basement filled up with water, and actually water was coming through the basement. So, the other day, I actually opened up the drain. There is a drain at the bottom of the wheel well. The window well.
Right.
And I was able to get a shop vac in there about 4 feet down. And I was saying maybe it was plugged up, but really didn't pull anything out except for maybe some dirt and rocks. But then I used a little camera that I got from my phone, like a wire camera. And
right.
It looks like it doesn't connect to anything. So I'm wondering, did they mess something up here, or is that how it's supposed to go, or just, I don't know, maybe naturally makes its way to the drain tile around the house? But if
do you have drain tile and a sump pump?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So here's what I would do. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I took a hose then after I sucked everything out and filled it up with water, and it wasn't moving for quite a while. Then I went to the window well drain close to the corner of the house that's closest to the sump pump and opened up the sump pump pit, filled that one up with water, and that thing was running for like, seemed like 10 minutes, never filled up. But I didn't see anything going to the sump pump. There looks like there was a tube going to the sump pump, but there was no water flowing. So I'm not sure what's going on.
Typically, the window well drains will tie back into the drain tile. When they're done correctly, you know, it's kind of like a T that they would put in there so that it would flow directly in there. You know, is it possible that they just ran a pipe in there and didn't connect it? Sure, but that camera that you used, you know, did you only get so far and then that's all you could see? Or you could clearly see that it was just going up against gravel or something?
Well, it's 16 feet long, so I got down to about 4 feet, and it looked like it was just dirt.
Wow. Okay, well, that dirt that's there could be the dirt that's in the pipe. I mean, could you see that you could still see the end of the pipe, or you went to the end and then it wasn't there? I mean, a lot of times when this stuff gets backfilled, I mean, here's the thing. This rain, and how old is your home, Frank?
85.
Okay. So, I mean, one of the things is, it sounds like you've got some skills here. What you may want to try is renting a small drill auger, okay, with a small bit. I don't want a huge bit on there because I don't want you tearing up the drain tile. And if you can you get down, can you get down in that well so that you can, like, stand or squat in it, or did you have to go from the top?
Actually, the window is at the same level.
Oh, so you can pop the window out.
Yes, exactly. That's what I did.
So you're working from the basement. Take a drill auger that's at least 20 feet long or so, which you could rent, and try and chop all that out of there and see if that dirt, by clearing it, connects back to the drain tile. Because what can be happening, more than likely, that drain tile is perforated, and so you're getting a little bit of absorption in the ground, and the rest should be going to the sump pump. And if you can chew that all up and kind of free the dirt up, I'll tell you that the way to test a drain is not just with the hose. You take a 5-gallon bucket of water and you dump it, because it's the volume of water that you want to see if it takes it. I mean, if you can't get that to clear and you're worried about this, then I think that what you're going to have to do is have somebody, a professional, come out to kind of really assess what's going on. And it wouldn't surprise me if they had to maybe even open up the floor to make sure that connection is right.
Yeah, I call a couple area plumbers, and nobody wants to do it. I think they're afraid of tearing up the drain tile, like you said. So
that would be
just excavating it by hand to see what's going on.
Well, I mean, if you're up for doing that, then I would do that and go ahead and start digging it up. But that'd be something like PermaSeal could help you with, because that's right in their wheelhouse, not only with the plumbers, but with the drain tile installation or inspection as well, and that's something that they do offer. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I listen every Saturday.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I listen to it every Saturday morning.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. You're how-to.
Don't be scared. Pick up the phone. Give Lou a call. He's live taking your questions till 10 right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Welcome back, House Smarts Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, and they work. Before we get back to your phone calls, though, if you are part of the whole video doorbell phenomenon, I really think it's awesome. And Ring is sort of the dominant player in there, but there are some other upstarts coming in. And, you know, we always like to feature the little guy. I don't know how little these people are, but they're certainly not Ring. Take a listen to this product. Mm-hmm.
Are you heading out of town next week for the holiday or planning any travel this summer at all? Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, you and everyone else. You know who else knows that? Breaker Inners. One of the last things you want to be worrying about while you're away on your vacation is what's going on at home. But video doorbells these days are a great way to keep an eye on who's at your door. Of course, you've heard of the big ones, but we here at House Smarts like to shine a little light on the little guys. For instance, the ALC Sight HD Video Doorbell. This guy allows you to also answer your door from anywhere in the world with its 1080p full HD Wi-Fi camera. Set up a simple using your existing doorbell, and once connected with your home's Wi-Fi, your paired smartphone will ring when the doorbell button is pushed. Just like if someone's calling, you have the option to answer, view, or ignore. Just like at home, but with a little more control. The outdoor weatherproof doorbell offers an on-camera recording to a micro SD card, so there's no need to pay for any additional services. You can automatically upload recorded video files to your personal Google Drive or Dropbox account directly from the camera. There's 20 feet of night vision and an infrared filter for true daytime color that provides awesome images day or night. And the free Sight HD app keeps you connected 24/7, 365. This puppy goes for about $130 on Amazon or Walmart.com, or you can find out more at alcwireless.com. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
It's cool and it's affordable, and I think that you will have a nice option if you're looking. I like the whole concept with these video doorbells and the fact that you can keep an eye on what's going on in and around your home. You can answer the door. You know, if you don't want to, if you've got mobility issues, I think these video doorbells make a ton of sense, and you can access them through your tablet or your smartphone, whatever it may be. And the fact that more players are coming into it means that you've got better pricing to kind of invest in these if you want. And they're super easy to install. All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go back to your phone lines now. Liz is in Downers Grove. Hi, Liz. You're on WGN.
Good morning.
Morning. How can I help you?
Well, I recently had my very outdated family room taken down to the studs, and I just realized that my contractor, when he was putting up the new wallboard, covered up the cold air return vent. How important is it that that be opened up?
It's really important. What part of the house is this?
The family room. It's over a crawl space.
Yeah.
I came across the cover, and I thought, he wallboarded right over that cold air return vent. So I should give him a call, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the thing is, when it comes to heating and cooling, Liz, the cold air return is really one of the most critical parts of the comfort area in your home. We need to, you know, mm-hmm. the furnace, whether it's heating or cooling, needs to circulate that air through there. And if you don't have that cold air return, the other portions, if you have other cold air returns, can pick up some of the slack, but it's integral, especially with a larger room, that is working. So I would definitely have them come back and put the register back in.
Okay.
All right.
I will do. And congratulations on the weight loss. Are you still doing that?
I am. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All good. Thank you very much. Yeah,
okay,
I feel great.
Thank you.
I feel great. Thank you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. George is in Bartlett. Hey, George. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou,
good morning.
Doing?
Good. How can I help you, sir?
I live on a slab, and on the 10th of this month, I turned the outside water on, and the pipe goes through the closet. And I didn't know, but it was leaking because I guess the pipe was frozen when I turned it on, and the water started to go in the house.
Okay.
Well, I had to get part of the carpeting taken out and the pad and part of the drywall. Now I'm waiting to figure out what I want to put down on the floor. Now, with the carpeting on the slab, the floor is warmer. But there's a laminate and then there's vinyl. I think vinyl is better in case you have another water problem. But isn't that cold on the floor compared to carpeting, or do they have another thing you can put underneath the vinyl?
There is. So one of the big trends right now, George, are these luxury vinyl floors. And they're similar to vinyl, you know, that like a sheet vinyl. But the fact is, they click together like a laminate floor, and they're really nice. And they're really nice. Now, my buddy Mike just put one down in a home that he has, and there was carpeting there as well. And I didn't notice a huge difference as far as the temperature, because there is a pad underneath it. So it gives you a little bit of a buffer between the coldness of the slab in the wintertime and the floor itself. And the real beauty of these luxury vinyl tiles is the fact that they're 100% waterproof. Not just water resistant, they're 100% waterproof. And so that is a really huge benefit if there's ever a problem down the line. And I really do like them, and they look really nice. And so if you want to get away from, you know, a carpeting situation, and if you ever had water leaking before, I would personally choose the luxury vinyl tile over a laminate floor because of the waterproof capabilities.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, thanks for the information.
Here, one quick thing, too, though. I want you to go to a good flooring store, because you'll see a better selection and a higher quality grade as opposed to just going to the big boxes to buy the stuff, okay?
All right.
All right, my friend. I appreciate you calling this morning. Have a good weekend and a nice 4th of July.
Same to you, Lou.
You are listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
Well, I've got a flagpole, and the rope broke, and I can't raise the flag because the rope is broke.
Well, we need somebody that has a 16-foot stepladder. You know who I think I would contact? Go walk down to the firehouse and ask them if they'll do you that favor.
You're listening to your handyman of Saturday mornings.
And let me ask you this. Can you bake anything?
Oh, yeah. I'm great at that.
Lou Manfredini.
Well, then maybe some cookies or cupcakes when they come over. I've never been a fireman, but I don't think they say no to free food.
On House Smarts Radio.
That's no problem. I've been a policeman for 35 years, so I know all about donuts and stuff, too.
On the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 is the number, so give us a call. This hour of our show is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace, by Fox Home Center, and by Dykstra Home Services. Back to the phone lines right now. Carrie is in Sycamore. Hi, Carrie. You're on WGN.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Hey, so this is my procrastination slash I didn't have a pencil and paper when I've called you a couple times over the last couple of years. So a couple products. The first one you recommended, I've got a really old concrete patio. It looks really cool. It's kind of lost some material because it's kind of pebbly. It looks cool, but you recommended a product to put down to maybe spiff it up a little bit and maybe kind of stabilize the loss of material.
Well, and you're not looking to refinish it. You're just looking to stop the decay or the
okay. Yeah, exactly. Protect it, because I don't even press the washer anymore. If I do very, very, you know, the lightest nozzle.
Got it.
But because it will, you know, it is. But I think it's cool because it's, you know, you can see the.
It's an exposed. You know, it's an exposed aggregate. Okay,
exactly. I just want to kind of slow down that process.
So let's do this. We do need to clean it first, and if you don't want to use a pressure washer, then maybe what you should try is, you know, just a cleaner that you could go maybe with a deck brush. You know, and a little. How big of a patio is it?
Oh, it's pretty small. It's probably
okay. All right,
it's not that big.
So my old friends at Concrobium came out with a brand new product called Duoblast. Duoblast is their newer version of a product called Mold Stain Eraser, but this is a liquid, and you can buy it in a gallon jug. Most Ace Hardware stores will carry it. I want you to pour that into a bucket. So you're probably going to buy, you probably need to buy 2 gallons, but, you know, use one and see what happens.
Sure.
And use it that, dip the deck brush in the bucket, you know, 5 gallon bucket, and scrub the patio, get it nice and clean, and then rinse it. Once that's dry, while you're purchasing things, you're going to purchase a gallon of bone dry concrete sealer.
Okay.
And that product you may or may not find locally, but if you go to their website, bonedryproducts.com, you can order it and they'll ship it to you. Not cheap. Okay. It's probably $70 for a gallon of it. But okay. It's really good stuff. You want to dampen it. You want to dampen the concrete first, and then you put this in a pump sprayer and you spray it out there. And what it actually gets, it's a silicate-based material, so it absorbs into the concrete about a good inch or so and helps to bond it, and that will do a really nice job for you.
That sounds cool. Yeah, the cost is okay. I don't plan on doing this.
Right. Right. I mean, you're doing it yourself, and you're going to save a lot of money by doing it yourself, and, sure. And you'll get really good results.
Sure. And then last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, you mentioned two products real quickly. One, we have a lot of hostas, and you mentioned a product that you could spray to kind of do preemptive bugs eating them or even while they start eating them.
Hopefully, Lindsay's ready. You're going to buy a product called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
Arrgh.
Okay.
Okay. And when she does it, she also takes her arm and goes, arrgh, right across, you know, like a arrgh, like she's holding a mug of beer.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and the next one?
2 weeks ago, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, there was an asphalt patch repair that you really recommended.
Hopefully Lindsay's right. No, that one was called Aqua Fault.
Okay.
Aqua Fault is, it comes in like a 2 gallon it looks like a mini 5 gallon bucket, but I think it's about 2 gallon. It is a water activated asphalt patch that is just the bee's knees. It really does work well. And you cut out an area where you want to patch it, get some square edges if you can, take out the gravel, overfill it about an inch. You're going to need a tamper to tamp it down, which you can rent a lot of times. You tamp it into place, you activate it with a hose. And the company claims that you can drive over it in 2 hours. I'd wait overnight, but it's amazing. Really does a nice job.
Sounds perfect. I wrote it all down, and this time I promise I'll do it. So I won't tell you for a year or two. So, thanks a lot.
You got it. Thanks, Carrie. Bye-bye. I appreciate you calling. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk with Leo, who's in Naperville. Hey, Leo, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning, Lou. I have a question about power washing.
Okay.
I have a concrete driveway that's about 5 years old. It was seal coated by a previous owner, and I used a 1800 PSI power washer that was electric. My question is, will power washing remove the sealant if the concrete's been sealed by someone else?
You said seal coated, but you meant it's a concrete driveway that's been sealed, correct? That's not like there's a color coating over the top of it. It's just been sealed.
Yeah, I misspoke. I should have just.
That's okay. Sealed. No, I just want to make sure. The thing is, depending on the sealer that was used, many times it gets absorbed into the concrete and it's below the level. But you will occasionally get some peeling. How dirty is the driveway?
Well, here's the real question. When I finished it, it looked amazing. But I have a tall tree that's over it, and about a week later, I saw all these stains, and the driveway's a little pitched. So right. I saw like all these stains when the water cascades down the driveway.
Right.
And I don't know if that's from the tree or from what happened to the driveway when I power washed it.
Here's what I would do. Will you remove a little of the sealer? I mean, if you bury down even with an 1800 pound PSI, pressure washer, you could, but if you're just doing some light cleaning over the top and use a fan tip, it wouldn't be anything that I would be concerned with. But from a standpoint of that tree, I would just get into a kind of a mode of living in your house is get the driveway nice and clean. So it looks amazing, like you described it. And then I would keep a bottle of Wet and Forget on hand, the traditional bottle of Wet and Forget in a pump sprayer, and once a month, I would just spray down the concrete, in particular in that area where the tree is, And that's going to sort of embed itself in the concrete, and it's going to keep any of that organic material from staining the concrete and grabbing a hold. And if you did that, like during the summer months, you know, I think that you would just be able to maintain that look no problem and be an easy thing. You just go with the pump sprayer, three, you know, you go top to bottom on the driveway and you're done.
Apply it wet or dry?
You apply that dry, well, wet and forget on the, when you do the concentrate, it's a good idea that the driveway is a little damp. So you just kind of hose it down real quick, not wet, just damp. And then you go hit it and, you know, make sure it's not going to rain for a couple hours and go, and then that's it. Once a month.
Thank you so much, Lou. Appreciate it.
You got it. I appreciate you calling. You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
95 years of the Chicago conversation.
You gave them
WGN Radio.
Those old time stars.
The latest bulletin from President.
The Rockefeller.
Kennedy has been shot.
Happy birthday to us, 720 WGN Radio.
Happy birthday to us. Oh, hey, live power wires don't look like much, but getting close to them can be dangerous. The only way to stay safe is to keep yourself and the tools you're using at least 10 feet from the power lines. The only sparks you want to see on the 4th of July are coming from the fireworks, not from you hitting a wire with a ladder. ComEd cares about your safety, so before you get close to any live power lines, please call them at 1-800-EDISON-1. ComEd, powering lives.
Here he is now, repairing the world one light bulb at a time. Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio, 4th of July, pre-4th of July weekend. Got a lovely day out there, finally. Oh, my gosh. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Fred is in Cary. Fred, good morning. You're on WGN.
Lou, I got a question about caulk. I got a problem with the caulk coming up in the bathtub. Can I just replace one section of it, or got to replace all of it?
How does it look, the rest of it?
The rest of it looks okay. I put it down about 2 years ago. I keep having this problem with the caulk coming up over the years, and the last time I used that quick, that 30-minute dry, and it seems to be working better, but just one area of it is coming up.
Got it. You can cut that area out if you want and blend it in. It's not a, I mean, if it's just white caulking, I would just use a, you know, if you want to kind of make it easy on yourself and do a siliconized latex caulk and patch what's in there, you can. You can even buy a little caulk in a squeeze tube if you don't want to buy a whole caulk tube if you don't have it, just to fill in. But the key is you got to make sure it's dry underneath it, right? So when you peel that away, you can't caulk it right after you showered. I'd put a fan on it for a little bit and let it dry, you know, even a couple of hours, and then put the caulk on and stay out overnight, and then you should be good to go.
Do you recommend a brand?
Yeah, DAP makes a squeeze tube, a siliconized bathroom caulking. I just bought a tube of it myself yesterday, and it's great for touch-up work like what you want to do, and you can just cut the end. That's got a little cap you can put back on there. You don't have to buy a full caulk tube on there. Squeeze it in, tool it with your finger, let it dry overnight after you let it dry before you apply it, and you should be okay.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. I appreciate you calling this morning, Fred. All right, let's go to Round Lake, where Steve is on the line. Hey, Steve, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning. Hello, Steve.
Hello. How are you?
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning. A couple of things. One, I want to know about putting bridging in on a floor, first floor, that's very spongy. Well, not very spongy, but spongy when you walk. The basement is open to the rafters.
To the floor joist?
Yes,
Yeah.
Okay.
So is that something that you just go to Home Depot and buy, like, aluminum bridging and put in those joists?
Well, you can. Now, let me ask you this. When you're looking, when you're in the basement looking up, is that floor area that's a little bouncy, is it a clear span across wall to wall? What am I looking at when I'm down there?
Yeah, wall to wall, clear span.
And how? What would you say that span is?
Could be about 20 feet.
And there's no bridging in it currently?
Sporadic bridging throughout. It's about an 18-year-old house. So the builder just put it, like, in spots, which is kind of weird, not through, like, the whole length, you know, or the width of the house.
Okay. And let me ask you another thing. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that basement? Are you eventually going to finish it?
Well, it's partially finished. We're just going to leave it exposed, I think.
Okay. Because you can, because, you know, so when you're looking at that, when you're looking at the, when you're looking at the floor, right, and I'm looking up, you have plywood, right, that's screwed into that, into the floor joist? Right.
Yeah.
You could just take 2x4s perpendicular to the flooring and screw it to the bottom.
Okay.
That would accomplish the same thing. And if you were going to do that, I would break the floor span into thirds.
Okay.
And put two runs, you know, perpendicular to the joist. If you wanted to, you can buy aluminum joist straps that you could screw in top and bottom. That would be better, but marginally better than what I just described if you did the 2x4s.
Okay.
And if you really want it to be holding and not going anywhere, I'd put a little bead of wood glue on the joist when you put it up there to screw it on there, you know, each one.
Yep.
Because when that glue sets up and you screw it, don't nail it, you got to screw it, it's going to be really firm, and you should be able to help take some of the bounce out of that.
Okay, great. Can I make a quick statement, too, real quick?
Is it like a statement of love?
It's clean. It's of love, right. Yes. Yeah, right, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to my CFO, CEO of the house, Jennifer Acuna. Love you, dear. Talk to you later.
I love that. You can do, you can do the picture of love. Yes, the picture. What's that song? Remember that song?
I don't know, but we're already with the cough button over, or like the panic button over here.
Can I make a statement? Sure. All right. It's time to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Safety is always on everyone's mind, and it starts with feeling secure at your home. Tom got in these new satin nickel lock sets. They're not your everyday wimpy handle. They mean business. They're sturdy yet sleek looking, secure and tight, and come in either left or right-handed. They're perfect for back doors or house entry doors. You'll know you're safe, and that's really important to me. These quality lock sets at outlet prices are yet another reason why I'm always checking out what's new at Builders Supply Outlet. It's the weekend. Time to get to work on those projects around your home. But don't work too hard.
Everybody is in too big of a rush. Lay back, take a sip of tea, mow a little grass, and then if you get tired, take you a nap.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. Let's talk with Paul, who's in Kenosha. Hey, Paul, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Okay. We're considering putting a platform deck on the front of our house. We have a ranch house, and it would be really low to the ground, not very big, you know, maybe 12 by 7, something like that. And we were just debating between man-made materials or natural wood with that, and, you know, debating the maintenance on it.
When we talk about a platform, what do you mean? Like a front porch area? What are we talking about?
Yeah, kind of extension. We took out some bushes that were overgrown across the front of our house, and we didn't want to replace them, and we thought a little deck there would look nice. But it's, like I said, it's a ranch-style house, and it's really low to the ground, so it would be even with our front landing.
Right, so okay, what is the front landing now currently? Concrete?
Yes.
Okay, so we would take that out?
No, that landing would stay in, and then the deck would pivot off at L-shaped.
Mm. I like the, I mean, I like that idea, kind of like kind of like a little, almost like a Japanese walkway, which is kind of low to the ground, which can look really nice. The fact that it's going to be so low, and from a maintenance perspective, I really would consider doing some sort of composite material. What is the home now? Sided, brick, what is it?
Siding.
Okay. You know, the Trex brand, I mean, there's a lot of different brands, but Trex makes a couple of brands that lines in there. Their Transcends is their kind of meat and potatoes where you can do a lot of really cool stuff with. You can hide the fasteners. So if you built a, you know, if you did a little footing action with some framing to support it so it doesn't go anywhere, then you could take those boards and run it. You know, it would look kind of nice if you ran the boards lengthwise, like with, if you're standing at the front door looking out, the little landing would be to the right or to the left?
To the right.
To the right. And how long would it go before you said you're going to make it an L-shaped?
Well, it would, I think maybe I misunderstood you. The deck, the platform we would do would actually, if you're looking out the front door, be the left. And it would run basically to the edge of the house along that front. So
pretty good, a pretty good run. Pretty good run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would run those boards parallel with the front of the house. And the nice thing about, you know, the Trex product, I think you can get them up to 14-foot length. So you could put it, you know, with no seams, depending on how long it is. But even if there's a seam, it's not the end of the world. Then really all you have to do with that material is keep it clean. You know, they have a capped top over the top of it, so it's bonded with the material underneath there. It's really, you know, vastly improved as to what the product was 25 years ago. And it's beautiful. And I think that if you did something like that, yeah, you'd have a little bit of an investment, but it's really good stuff. And I think long term, it'll look really nice on the front of your home.
Okay, sounds like a good plan.
All right, Paul, thanks so much for the phone call. Speaking of homes, I want to talk to you a little bit about tiny homes. I had a chance to speak with a guy that's with an organization helping to build homes for veterans in need, specifically tiny homes. This is what he had to say. If you read any kind of magazine or publication when it comes to home building, you will see that there's a huge push or movement really when it comes to tiny homes. At the National Hardware Show in 2019, there was quite a showing, a whole area dedicated to these tiny homes from different builders, different shapes and sizes, and it's really quite amazing to see what's going on. With that, joining me is Nathan Romig, who is the Director of Programs for an organization called Operation Tiny Homes. Nathan, nice to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Luke.
Tell me a little bit about this organization.
So Operation Tiny Home is a national nonprofit. We're an organization that started by helping local nonprofits across the country who are building tiny home communities for the homeless veterans in their area. So what we would do is come in for a three-day building workshop and teach veterans all the building skills that they need to build a home.
Mm-hmm.
During that workshop, we'd teach not only the veterans in that community, but the organization, how they can get going and how they can get started in building their community.
What do you think about this tiny home movement as it pertains to cities and villages allowing it? I mean, this is a big kind of a problem, right? I mean, it's one thing to build the home, but then getting a place to put it is the next challenge.
Definitely, and it always is. It is everywhere. We've traveled across the country, and we've dealt with this in so many municipalities across the country. It always is. But, you know, the key is working with the government officials, working with the planning department, and finding a solution that works, because they want to have affordable housing.
Right.
And the issue sometimes is, well, we want affordable housing, but we don't want it in our backyard. But really, really getting them to understand the value that a tiny home community brings to the community,
right,
is kind of key to get folks on board. And when they see it, when they really see the impact that they create by building these villages and creating affordable housing, you know, it's really a win-win once you get that across.
Give me a couple of success stories. You know, what are some areas or municipalities or parts of the country where you have seen a positive impact by this program?
Well, there's a lot. There's right here in Las Vegas where we are. Arnold Stock. He's the director of Veterans Village Las Vegas. He's really created an amazing impact with what he's done transitioning old rundown motels and creating housing for those in this community. And he's also doing that with his new container home project that we had a small part in assisting him get that going. But there's so many examples across the country. The villages that we've started, whether it's the village in Racine, Wisconsin, or in Roseburg, Oregon, once those get going and people see the kind of value that they bring to the community and taking the property that was, whether it was run down or just wasn't being used, and really creating beautiful, amazing homes that house folks in that area and bring life to the community, it's really incredible.
I mean, the fact of the matter is the homelessness problem in general is just something that we have to address. But then when we pare it down to a group of homeless veterans, and we think, I know you are a veteran yourself, and you look at, you know, the service that you have provided to our country, which I know that so many appreciate and honor, and then to see that these veterans are homeless and we're just not doing enough to help these men and women.
Right.
And it can just have such a monumental positive effect on their lives and a positive effect on the community.
It really, really can. You're right, Lou.
All right. How do people learn more about your organization and perhaps if they want to help by making a donation or any way that they possibly can help out?
Sure. Check out our website, OperationTinyHome.org. We have all sorts of information about all of our programs and information about upcoming builds. Also, our Facebook site, Operation Tiny Home, is a great resource of photos and all sorts of video content from all of our past builds. We just came back from Billingham, Washington. We started our Native American housing program with the Lummi Stepping Stones, and we've got a lot of great video and photo from that build. Really beautiful home that we made for them up there, and should check it out
That's cool. We should probably make a note down. I've got Christine watching us about taking our House Smarts cameras to those as well. I'd love to do that. Nathan, thanks so much for joining us. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
Hey, we've all got our areas of expertise. Lou's area just happens to be your house.
I've been listening to you for a few months now, trying to catch you saying something not quite right, but you got it all going on.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
I love that song. I was we were filming in a house, House Smarts TV, and there was a photograph on the wall in a bar area that the house had, which was really cute. And it was a picture. It was a pretty nice picture, like a drawing of an old fashioned, you know, like a drink, the old fashioned. And it said, "Just call me old fashioned." Perfect, right in a bar area. I got to get one of those. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Kankakee, where Ann is on the line. Hey, Ann. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. I need just some help with a concrete crack. I repaired a new section of my sidewalk coming into the house.
Okay.
And then a year later, it cracked. And it's like a fourth of an inch wide to 5/8. Of course, it's about 5 foot wide. It visually drives me crazy to just ignore something that continues to fall a little more apart.
Hmm. All right. You said it's about a quarter of an inch wide.
Mm-hmm.
And how long?
5 foot. You know, it's like the full width. You know, I'm just guessing that.
And so you're seeing that the slab is sinking.
No, it's not sinking. It just cracked it. Year after I had it another, it was new a year ago, and it cracked the following spring.
Okay. Can I convince you to fill it in with a crack filler?
Yes, yes. When I've asked people about it, they've said, oh, it'll just, it'll look worse. And I
So here's the thing. I do these features on my TV show called Fix It in 15 Minutes, and I just shot a thing on fixing cracks using some of the crack fillers that you can buy that are in caulk tubes, and I showed a bunch of different ones. There's one in particular that I like, which was the one I used, and it's called Slab, S-L-A-B, and it's by a company called Sashco. They're the same people that make one of my favorite caulkings called Lexel. But anyway, you can find this at Ace Hardware. You got a good Ace Hardware down there in Kankakee, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, so go tell them I need this. It comes in a gray bottle, a gray caulk tube. So I want you to take a nylon brush or something, and I want you to brush out this crack, okay?
Okay.
And then you're going to open up this caulk tube with a caulk gun. You're going to carefully fill in this crack, and you're going to take your time to fill it in and come all the way across. Then you're going to take your finger, and you're going to kind of tool it with your finger, nice and smooth. But then your concrete more than likely has a little bit of some grooves in it. You know, it's not super smooth like a garage floor.
Yeah.
So once you pull that caulking across with your finger, then I want you to take a softer brush, almost like a, you know, like a dusting brush that you would use if you're sweeping up the floor type of thing.
Oh, okay.
You're going to take that across with the graining of the concrete, across the grain and across the top of this caulking you just put in there to give it a little bit of a texture that matches it. Now, will the grays match perfectly? No. But it'll look a lot nicer than what you have right now, and it'll keep the water from getting in there and the ice eventually from forming inside there and making the crack even worse.
Wonderful, wonderful. You've made my day.
Well, I'd make your day better if I came down there and fixed the crack, but I'm not.
That's true.
I used to stop, and when I went to Millikan University, I used to always stop at the McDonald's that was in Kankakee right off of 57 there and then get back on the highway.
Yes, yes. Well, I will look for this. It's called Slab, right?
Right, and it's by a company called Sashco. That's the maker.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ann. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. What do you think? She's thinking. Sure. All right, let's talk to Andrew, who's in Indian Head Park. Hey, Andrew. You're on WGN. Good morning. Good.
I know you answered this question many times in the past, but I never needed to find out the answer. I just moved to Indian Head Park, and there is a jillion chipmunks all over the place.
Right.
Which is fine, except I don't like them in my lawn. What do you suggest getting, or at least making them go someplace else?
Well, are they burrowing underneath something, or they're just running around your lawn?
Both.
Okay. There is a product that Bonide makes called the Bonide Sonic Spike. Molmax Sonic Spike is what it's called. And there's a couple different kinds. There's a solar-powered one, and then there's one you can put a few C batteries in. You're going to put that in there, and in the lawn where you see most of them hanging out and having their party, you're going to drive this into the lawn so it's, you know, bury it in the ground. It's like a big old spike. And it makes a chatter sound under the ground that makes it sound like a chipmunk in distress. Actually, Lindsay does a great impersonation of a chipmunk in distress. Could you do it? That's actually pretty good. And so
the weekend at my house?
She could either come over for the weekend. She can come over and she can...
You would want me out of your house soon after arriving.
But the thing is, Andrew, you don't hear that. It's below ground, so you don't hear it, but they do. And one of these is good for about a 30-foot radius, And so depending on how big of an area you have, you may want to buy one or two of them, but it does work. It's amazing how well it works to drive them somewhere else.
Good. Because I didn't want to do anything inhumane. I would just want
No. This is strictly a repellent. It doesn't do anything inhumane whatsoever.
Very good, sir. One more thing. Unsolicited testimonial. Had PermaSeal come out and do some work with that lifting of the cement pads, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh. Poly level?
There you go. Excellent job. Just excellent job.
You're happy with the results?
Definitely.
Good
people to work with. They could not have been any better if they were my family members. They were just fine.
Now, if they could get rid of those chipmunks, then we'd have something.
I thought Lindsay might stop by.
Oh, right. We got that all figured out. Right. Okay. Perfect. We're going. We're done, but people are now tuning into something else. Right. Okay. Thank you. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, and the Talking Chipmunk.
This is going to sound funny. I'm really glad I'm a man.
Why?
And I want you to take this in the right way, but it was really hot outside. I wish I could wear a dress. Because I bet it's really comfortable when it's hot.
So you think that like a little breeze would feel good?
Right. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, Lou, go ahead. I mean, who's going to stop you? I'm just a summer
girl. I wear my who's going to stop me? This hour of House Smarts Radio and Summer Dresses is sponsored by Dykstra Home Services, by PermaSeal Basement Systems, ChevyDriveChicago.com, and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I remember when I used to wear, my dad used to wear coveralls when he would work at the garage when he owned his Texaco station, where there was like a giant, like a giant jumpsuit type of thing. But he wore clothes underneath it.
Yeah.
But like sometimes you see people that just wear the coveralls
that
with
does
just
not seem comfortable.
You'd be a little chafing.
Ouch.
Maybe. Yeah.
Jeans?
Anyway. Ugh. No, they're not jeans.
I know, but.
You know, they're like a. Right. Dicky type material or khaki type material or
still
whatever
not
you call it.
Too and even hotter, I would think, no?
I would think so, yeah. Right. I would think so.
Just
like
do
a
the
summer,
skirt.
Not like a good summer dress.
2019.
Flowing spaghetti straps or whatever you call it. Is that what you call it? Mm-hmm. Spaghetti straps?
Yeah, sure.
Off the shoulder?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think that's why Marlene called in Maple Park. Marlene, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help you?
We are redoing our deck. It's a 20-year-old deck, and it's made of composite material. My question is, one of my questions is, how is the best way to clean that? It's never been cleaned.
Never?
Never.
Okay.
It's on the north side of the house.
Right. Are you...
It's not really, really bad, but I figured as long as we're redoing the railings on the old deck were like sort of tipping out. So we're, replacing the railings, but we're, keeping the composite deck. But I thought,
What are you going to do with the rails? What kind of rails are you going to do?
Aluminum.
Oh, nice. That's going to look really, really nice. I've heard it described as when you put that aluminum rails. I think that the combination between the composite decking and the aluminum rails is a really good combo. And the aluminum rails, while they're not inexpensive, kind of add, they're like the jewelry of your deck, which is really cool.
What we're also doing is putting a drink rail on top of the railing.
Right.
So with one of the composite boards. That will be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's a neat detail. Okay. How big is this deck?
Oh, probably 12 by 12, small.
Okay. I was talking earlier today, Concrobium just came out with a new version of a product called Mold Stain Eraser. It's called Duo Blast. And Duo Blast is a liquid version of what was once a powder. And it's you can buy this in a gallon jug. And with a 12 by 12 area, you may need to buy 2 gallons. I want you to take the 2 gallons of the product you're going to buy, put it into a 5-gallon bucket. Empty both bottles in a 5-gallon bucket. And then take a deck brush on the end of a pole and dip the brush in and scrub the deck. And it is going to do a remarkable job to clean that without damaging it. I'm not adverse to you renting a pressure washer and doing all that, but the problem is that if you're not super careful with the pressure washer, you can damage the composite material because, you know, it can really dig in. And doing this with a deck brush, you won't damage it, and you'll scrub it all clean. It'll look great. And then you're done, basically. Then you can do your railing and everything. It's nice and clean. And then moving forward, if you'd like, since you're on the north side of the home, you know, and it doesn't get a lot of direct sunlight, but you can get a little buildup of algae and, you know, stuff like that on top of the surface of the deck. Not a bad idea twice a year to give it a shot with Wet and Forget, just to keep the organic material from not embedding itself in there and staining, potentially staining the material, depending on the age of it. And that's a really good preventative, that you just spray it, wet it, forget it, and you're done. You're done.
And I use Wet and Forget on the backside of the house,
right,
and up on the roof even, because, and it's, you know, when I was first putting it, I have to say this, when I was first putting it on, I thought, you know, this isn't gonna do anything. But I tell you what, you know, it's awesome. You don't even realize anything's happening, and all of a sudden you look and it's like, wow, everything's great, everything's gone. So yeah, I didn't use it on the deck then because we have dogs, and I didn't know if that would do anything, you know, to them, to their feet.
Well, yeah, as long as you rinse it all off beforehand, you know, it's safe to use. There's no question. But it does a nice job. It's not immediate, but when it does, you give it a chance to work and use Mother Nature. It works great.
It does. A quick question. Well, I have another question, but
sure.
Do I rinse after I do the dual blast?
Correct. Yeah. So you're gonna scrub. You're gonna scrub it, and as you're scrubbing it, you're gonna be like, "Oh my gosh, I didn't realize this deck was so dirty." And so you'll scrub, 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 and then you'll take the hose and you'll rinse, and you're done.
Okay. And I'm glad you mentioned the pressure washer, because my husband wanted to get that out, and I know what he can do with a pressure washer. You know what I'm saying? Okay. My next question is, okay, so under the deck, there's like, to support the deck that's already there, they're like 2x12, and they're, you know, real wood.
Mm-hmm.
And those are exposed. They were never covered with, well, they were covered with some plastic lattice. How can I clean those boards? Because they look real yucky, kind of mildewy and all stained. How can I clean those? And then either.
But are you seeing them?
Not normally, because the lattice, lattice covers
right.
it up.
Right.
But when they were doing the dock, they took that off, and that
right.
also needs to be cleaned up.
Right.
But I thought that because you can see in the little squares, you know, you can see that board.
Right.
So what I was kind of thinking of doing was either painting or staining those boards.
I mean, the fact that they're, you know, under the deck boards, they're vertical, there's really no reason to paint or stain them, because the paint in particular would peel long term because of the humidity underneath there. If you really feel the need to clean it, I mean, is there enough room to get underneath there, or how much space do you have?
Well, it's not really. I mean, you can see it. You can see the board.
I understand, but how high is the deck off of the ground?
Maybe 2 or 3 feet, 2.5, 3 feet.
Okay, so if you wanted to clean it, then all I would tell you to do is get underneath there, you know, and use a brush and a hose and just brush off the dirt, and that's all I would do. I wouldn't do anything more than that. I wouldn't stain it. I wouldn't paint it. It's a vertical board that doesn't need any. It's probably a treated material, and it doesn't need any kind of finish on there long term. And that's it. Just clean it with a brush, water, and you're going to be a dirty mess while you're doing it. But if it makes you happy to clean those boards, then go right ahead. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. It is 9:19 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Whatever's making you scratch your head this weekend, Lou is here to help.
We've got a problem with black mold.
Got a beep in my living room.
My furnace. It's humming.
Just give him a call. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio. At the stars tonight,
and I think, oh, how I missed that. Welcome back, House Smarts Radio. It's amazing for me to read that Seattle Sutton commercial because I really, and Lindsay has put up with this since January, as my wife has as well. But I really, and be totally honest, you really never heard me complain about it.
Mm-mm.
Right? It wasn't, like I was at a Misericordia meeting, like a board meeting, and I ran into a bunch of people that I hadn't seen in a while, and they were like, oh my gosh, you know, you lost all this weight, and you know, what did you do, and this and that, was it hard, was the food bad? Like, no, the food was great. The food's great. It's not. That was never the issue, and I mean, you'll help me in the studio sometime because I'll bring my breakfast in, and when I'm in the studio, you're like, oh, I'll go pop warm that in the microwave or whatever it is, Mr. Manfredini.
Mr. Manfredini.
Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you've done a very good job keeping on track, though, as well. I mean, you put your mind to it, and you have done it.
Right.
You didn't really. I mean, you cheated here and there, of course, when you have. You know,
well, I went to Alaska.
Right.
I mean, look, I went to Alaska, and it took me 6 months to lose 30 pounds. I spent 9 days on a ship, and I stepped on the scale, and I was 7 pounds heavier than when I left. However, within like a couple days, it wasn't like, sure. I don't know what you would describe.
Like water weight.
I guess, yeah.
That's like as much as my four-year-old weighs. You lost
35 pounds.
You lost Sydney.
Which... You know, I mean, it's funny, you know, kind of my, now I'm like, well, are you done losing weight? People say, are you done losing weight? And I'm going, well, you know, in the hardware world, you know, there's a lot of things you can buy that weigh 40 pounds. Like if you buy black dirt, a bag of black dirt, it's 40 pounds. Or you buy ice melt, you know, in the wintertime, there's like a 40-pound bag. So now I'm thinking I'd like to do that. You know, it's a whole, like, tie-in with my brand.
I see where you're going. I like it.
Right.
Now, don't get too skinny.
No. But, I mean, I'm wearing, like, when we went on the...
You wore your white pants.
I did wear my white pants. But when we went on the cruise, I brought a jacket, you know, to wear some nights at dinner, you know, like a sport coat. And then Max, my 18-year-old son Max, brought a sport coat. And then we would switch coats. I mean, I would have never thought in my life that that would be the case. Right? That's crazy. It's crazy. By the way, speaking of that Misericordia meeting that I was at... I want to let you know that they're holding a job fair. They've got some openings for some really good people that would like to help Misericordia. If you truly want to make a difference, Misericordia is looking for compassionate and hardworking individuals to join their organization as certified nursing assistants and direct support professionals. Experience in this field is not required. Misericordia is hosting a job fair on Wednesday, July 24th. From 11 to 2 p.m. at 2001 West Devon Avenue in Chicago. On-site interviews will take place at the event for all qualified applicants. If you'd like more information or you want to apply, visit their website at misericordia.com, or you can email them at careers@misericordia.com. I will send this email to Lindsay so that we can post this up on our Facebook page. If you know some people... certified nursing assistants that want to have direct access and help the residents at Misericordia. It is just an amazing place, and I think that you will be one of those people, like their current staff and volunteers, that truly make a difference in people's lives. It's just amazing, absolutely amazing. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Quick call. Mary is in Chicago. Hey, Mary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Lou. I'm calling because I have an 1892 frame house in the city on a small lot, and it was converted into a three flat in the 40s, and my basement garden apartment, it's about 2 feet underground, and we've had occasional water problems, probably maybe five times in the last 10 years. Okay. Half of the apartment is has got ceramic tile, and the other half has indoor-outdoor carpeting. And it's a concrete floor with radiant floor heat embedded in it. So okay. I'm trying to resolve this whole water thing and not have to deal with it anymore. In the past, when I've gotten water down there, I've cranked the radiant floor heat to dry up the carpeting and run fans and dehumidifiers, but I would really just like to get rid of the carpeting if I could, and I was considering vinyl plank flooring. But then I read up, and it sounded like the vinyl plank flooring might not transmit the heat well and might cause a problem with the radiant floor heat. I was also concerned about off-gassing, and then I didn't know whether to float it or to use adhesive on it.
Hold on a second. I mean, yep. I get that you want to do the floor, but what are we going to do to solve the water problem?
Yeah, okay. So,
I mean, because it seems crazy to just, we're going to put this floor on there even though I've got the water problem. We don't want the water problem.
No. Well, I've done a couple of things already. I got, the main problem had been water coming under the door. So there's like a little door well, kind of you walk down two steps to get to the front door of the apartment, and there's a drain there. And so if the drain isn't clogged, it's fine. But I did have the door replaced with a door that's supposed to be watertight. So since I did that, which was just about 6 months ago, it seems to, so far, I haven't had that water well fill up with water, so I think it's going to work. The other problem that recently we had was that the water came up through the shower. I put one of those, there's also a drain in the floor in a closet there, and I put one of those things in that stops the water from coming up that you just screw into the floor drain. But the problem actually turned out to be that the city sewer had collapsed out in front of the house, so that's been fixed. So I'm hoping that that resolves it. I'm a little worried because the house is so old. The foundation, I don't know if the house is sunk or whatever, but the foundation is below the sidewalk on one side of the house. And I didn't know if there was something I could do to put something under the siding to prevent water. I've had that happen once in the past where the whole gangway has flooded and then water has gone up over the foundation and come through the walls. It only happened once. And I, you know, wondered if there was some way I could do something with that.
Okay. A bunch of things. I'm going to have to put you on hold because I'm just bumping up against time here. But first of all, we have to solve the water problem once and for all. And I don't want to advise you on any kind of flooring. I mean, I will advise you, but you have to solve the problem. The vinyl flooring is 100% waterproof, which is great. So if it were to get a little damp, that's not the end of the world. But if we get inches of water, I mean, you'd have to take the floor up to dry it and then put it back down. Off-gassing, not a huge issue. A lot of this stuff now, especially if it gets the flooring made in the USA, it's a really a non-issue. During the install, there'll be a little bit of off-gassing, but you're going to stay well-ventilated, and that will be fine. Within a couple days, you'll be just perfectly fine. And as far as the transfer of the radiant heat, you just have to make sure that you're purchasing the flooring that's designed to go over radiant heat. They do all click together, and so that's not a problem. And if you put that in there, it'll look great, and a little bit of moisture, whatever, won't harm that floor at all. But A, number one, you have to solve the water problem first. Thanks so much for the phone call. Quick break and then to news. I was just handed this from Lindsay because, you know, I don't know my geography about Sweden and Switzerland. If you're in Switzerland, you're never more than 10 miles from a lake. In Sweden, the official language is Swedish. ABBA is probably the best-known Swedish band. No, that's Sweden. Yeah, Swedish. Yeah.
I'm so confused. Are you talking about Switzerland or Sweden?
That was Sweden. Okay. Wait a minute. Are you Swedish when you're from Switzerland, or are you Swedish
when you're Swiss when you're from Switzerland?
Okay, wait a minute. ABBA is probably the best-known Swedish band.
Right, they're from
Sweden. That's on my Sweden sheet.
Yeah, they're from Sweden. That's correct.
So you're Swiss when you're from Sweden?
No.
So when you're from Switzerland, you're what?
You're Swiss.
You're Swiss. And when you're from Sweden?
You're a Swede.
You're a Swede. Oh, Swedish. Here I go again. I mean, that still gives me a headache when I listen to it. That was one Steve Alexander that we remember him when we used to do this radio show, and he used to do the news. And you know that he, you know whose brother he is, don't you? Lucas Giolitos. Yeah, you know Lyle. Whose brother he is, right?
Yeah.
Lucas Giolitos.
Oh, that
no.
did not.
He's Lyle Dean's brother, yes. And I was just trading text messages with him. Listen to this for all of you longtime WGN listeners. L. Dean, it was his birthday yesterday. He turned 80 years old.
Happy! That's a big one. Happy birthday.
That is a big one. Yeah. Happy birthday to the skipper. We're happy for you. We miss you. He was, you know, interestingly enough, you know, he traded in his yacht for a motorhome.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his bride are driving around the country, you know, in the motorhome. And we missed each other in Alaska by a week.
You are kidding.
Yeah, they went to Alaska, okay? As a 79-year-old man driving a giant, thankfully I wasn't on the road. I'm Lyle Dean, get out of my way. I'm driving a giant motorhome.
That's awesome. What a 80
years old. God bless you, Lyle Dean. We miss you and we love you.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. And his younger brother, Steve, I think just turned 50. 312-981-7200 is our friend. He was always the favorite. Let's go to the phone lines. And Jenny is in Chicago. Jenny, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning from Portage Park. My problem is I have a drawer garbage can cabinet that keeps opening and staying open.
Okay, and can you tell me a little bit about the hardware? Does it hang at the top or hang at the bottom?
The sides. It has glides on the side.
Right, but when I pull the garbage can out, are the slides up high or down low?
Down low, I'd say.
Down low. So, in other words, when you pull it out and you look at where the slides are, it's almost like a drawer at the bottom, and your garbage can sit inside of it.
Correct.
Okay. Now, do you have one garbage cans or two?
Two. And even if I take them out, still won't stay shut.
All right. And when I pull the garbage can all the way out, what does the fastener look like at the back of the cabinet that's mounted to the rear of the cabinet? You're still there? Hello, Jenny. Are you looking? Is that why we can't hear you? Did we lose Jenny?
Well, she's on the air, but, you know.
Jenny?
Are you losing me?
Oh, there she
is. I'll move somewhere else in my house. Okay.
Oh, I couldn't hear.
I'll move somewhere else in my house.
Sorry. Okay. Are you looking at it now?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you pull, go ahead.
They're the same type of hardware as the rest of my drawers. They're a aluminum
like a plastic. A plastic knuckle or anything that's mounted to the back
No.
Do you see it?
So
here's the thing. Over time with these garbage can, you know, the weight of it will change or move the hardware a little bit. Those two back portions of it or even at the front are adjustable, and we need to angle just ever so slightly the hardware, not a lot, because then it'll change the pitch of the door. So that when you close it, it's holding it back down. So one of the things that can help you is if you use a small little torpedo level and you pull the cabinet, you know, the door portion out all the way, and then place that torpedo level on that hardware inside the cabinet and take a look at the bubble. You'll probably see that the bubble, when you look at it, is on the back line, meaning towards the back of the cabinet. We need to adjust that hardware so that the bubble is on the front line, meaning towards where the door is. That little adjustment, redoing the screws, should solve your problem.
I'm not taking off the hardware. I'm just loosening some screws, or am I repositioning?
You may be able to accomplish this if the hardware has grooves in it, just by loosening, repitching, and retightening.
Okay.
If not, you may have to take it off, but chances are you can just do this through adjusting.
Super. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. I appreciate you calling. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Quick break, and we'll be back.
Sporting his hard hat and hammer, back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From the California to the New York Island.
Welcome back. John Williams coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, and Raymond is in Lamont. Raymond, you're on WGN. Good morning. Hello, Raymond. I hear
good morning,
you, Raymond.
Lou.
Hi there.
Good
How morning, can I help Lisa. You, sir?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had roof damage to my house last month from hail, and the insurance company agreed to give me a new roof. I contacted a contractor, and he told me that I would be better off putting in having ridge vents put in than the type of vents that I have up there now. I asked him if I should have both, and he said, no, you only need one. I was wondering what you think about that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There's no such thing as too much ventilation in a roof, but you don't necessarily need both. And, the ridge vent, as long as we can attain the same sort of overall square inches of air, in other words, do you have a long ridge that when you look at your roof, do you have a pretty long ridge?
No, I have about a 5,000 square foot home, so it has a lot of different peaks. The longest ridge is about 25 feet.
Okay, so a 25-foot ridge, and so different peaks, meaning that, but other ones you have like 4 or 5 feet of ridge or 6 feet of ridge, something like that, and the other ones?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. All of that would be fine. We just need to make sure that we maintain the right amount of ventilation if you have. Do you have soffits or overhangs on the home as well?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so make sure we maintain those vents open, and a ridge vent would be fine. Visually, it'll look a lot nicer. And, yeah, you don't need both. You'll probably attain just enough ventilation, more than enough, with the ridge vents properly installed.
Okay, one more quick question, please. Is there such a thing as a 50-year shingle?
There are. There's even a 75-year shingle, but remember that is just on the material itself, and most shingles now start at about a 35-year warranty, and that's on the shingle themselves, not the labor. And so that's really all it does, and it gets prorated. So, a lot of people hear that, and they pay up for it, but if there was an issue 10 years down the road, the roofing company gives you they prorate it all, and they hand you a check for $500. Now, mind you, it's $500, but it isn't like you're going to replace the roof with going with that. I wouldn't spend up on something like that, personally.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Lou. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling as well. Lou Manfredini, quick break, and we'll be right back. Time for Lou's last call. Thank you so much for listening. Lindsay, thank you for producing. Bob Ferguson for pushing all the buttons. Joe on sports. Who else am I thanking? Pam Jones for pinch hitting. Thank you, Pam, for coming in this morning. We really thank you. And Bob Ferguson, who was, I did thank Bob, but I'll thank him again for all of his phone interaction. He was like Ma Bell there earlier this morning, so we appreciate it. And thank you, Becky in Wisconsin. Hey, Becky, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi there, Lou. I want to know, you've sold me on this wet and forget. I have to drive out of town to get it. Now, I want to spray my patio that is around my pool, and I was wondering, can I spray that on the slide and the diving board?
You can. You absolutely can. If there's any vegetation around there, just make sure you coat that with water first, but you absolutely can spray it on all that. But keep in mind, it's not an immediate. The whole thing with wet and forget is it works with the rain and the wind to slowly get rid of all the buildup of everything. I don't want you to feel like it's an immediate cleaner. Within about 30 days, you're going to see a huge difference on all of this.
Well, I've had my my cement, concrete, whatever it is, pressure washed, but I think you can do that too much. It starts to break that up a little bit. So I thought wet
Agreed.
And forget would be the best.
I totally agree with you. Yeah,
I have to put it on my roof too. Do you think I can do all this? I'm a 73-year-old widow, but by God, I'm going to try.
You sound like you got the spunk. Do the on the roof. Use the hose application applicator, the rapid hold, and you can spray it from the ground. It'll spray up to 30 feet, and you won't have a problem whatsoever. You can find it at Ace. You can find it even Costco sometimes has it as well if that's in your area. Thanks so much, Becky, for the phone call. John Williams is standing by. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir.
Can you hear me okay, Lou?
I can hear you okay. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for asking. What a beautiful day, huh?
Oh, finally, right?
Well, you know what that means. In 7 seconds, it's going to thunder.
Oh.
Literally, Brenda and I, last night, we like got our cocktails, and we got Daisy, and we went out on our porch, and we had the cushions out. We sat down. Boom! Blah, blah! Hail coming down the sides of softballs. Terrible
does
rain.
Does your dog not like the...
No, that's not a good thing. No.
Yeah, our little dog as well, she freaks out.
Yeah,
I'm worried she's going to have a heart attack, and then I'm going to walk in, and she's going to be like with her four legs, like straight up.
Oh, yeah, just the thunder and Daisy. We just looked at Daisy. We looked at each other, and we said, well, now we're going in, and we all went inside. And then we all went to the bathroom. It was just crazy.
Including the dog.
Yes. Good to hear you, Lou.
All right, have a good show, John. Thanks for listening, everybody.